This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Bears fans, this is Take the North. With your hosts, Dan Wiederer.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck.
And Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Take the North podcast, along with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. I am Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan and I cover the Chicago Bears every single day. If they're practicing, we are at the practice. If there is training camp, we're at training camp. If there's a game, we're at the game. If there is a combine, we are at the combine. That's a place that Dan and I will be next week, all week, reporting all the hot topics of the Bears. We'll break some of that down. Obviously, a lot of draft talk will happen at the combine, so we'll get into some of that today. But first of all, I just want to say hello to my podcast partner of Take the North, Dan Wiederer. Hello, Weedsy. How are you, my friend?
Hi, Grody. Long time no see. I guess it was just about 42 hours ago or so that we were in studio at the Score doing a Take the North on somebody else's show.
Yeah, basically. We did. Yeah, for people who dig the content that Dan and I attempt to bring you guys three or four times a week, if you'd like to go back on the Odyssey app on 670 The Score, Dan and I did, 4 hours on Monday. I guess that would have been President's Day.
Sure.
So
was.
We were on 2 to 6 in the afternoon show. We were in for Spiegel and Holmes. So you can go back and easily find that. And there's lots and lots of Bears talk and all sorts of silliness that Dan and I were able to pull off for about 4 hours. So if you want to see a slightly, trust me, there's plenty of Bears content in that 4 hours, but a slightly different version of Dan and I, check out that 4 hour show.
I'm going to give a little apology for myself here today because I'm getting over a cold and I sound disgusting and it's driving me crazy. And I've got like the sniffles and it feels like, you tell me if this is your experience. It feels like the whole world has been sick in the last like 3 or 4 weeks. Like everyone you run across is like, oh yeah, I just had that. Or, oh yeah, my whole family's going through it. It's just like, it feels like a weird time where literally everyone in your orbit is dealing with something.
Well, what I've noticed is, Dan, I don't think that that's the case. I'm going to say you're wrong on that.
Damn.
Because, what it is this. When one is sick, they always find other people who have been sick. So here's the standard answer, because I was sick recently, too. And what everybody said to me is, oh, yeah, something's going around. 100% of the time, there's something going around.
No, but it's this is real. I'm telling you, this is real right now. It's all going around. I had a sick kid home from school on Tuesday. It's all rolling around. But this is my apology because I know I sound
disclaimer.
Like I'm talking in a tin can or something.
Hey, man,
and I'll probably sniffle a few times and it's
your
something we fight through.
Your information and content is so good that it would take a way worse voice for you to have to be excused from this podcast. But we are here. We are here on the Take the North podcast. It is mock draft season. As you can see, you're watching on YouTube right now. If you're watching on video, you can see the banner. It's mock draft season. And when I say that, it hasn't just begun. I mean, a lot of these guys, the real mock drafters, are into their second and third drafts of this. And one of the guys that I think you and I both respect, I think he's universally respected, is Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network. Of course, the Bears, by the way, they choose right now. They will be choosing 10th overall in the first round, which is kind of a shock to the system after the first picks in the last couple of years. They have just, I'll just run through it here, Dan. 2 second round picks right now, a third, a fifth, a sixth, and 2 sevenths. Daniel Jeremiah, Dan, at number 10, drum roll, please.
Love it.
Has the Bears going, because there's really two different directions that you should go in this draft, defensive line or offensive line. He is going offensive line. Daniel Jeremiah has Kelvin Banks Jr. out of Texas, a tackle for the Bears with a number 10 overall pick. I'm not necessarily expecting you, Dan, to break down Kelvin Banks's game at this point, but what do you conceptually, what do you think of the Bears going O-line and that product too, if you got something on him as well?
Yeah, there's a couple things here to unpack. The first one being that this is going to be a less sexy pre-draft process for those of us that got really enamored covering quarterback prospects, you know, in recent years. Now all of a sudden you're trying to figure out what do good offensive tackles look like? What does good interior line play look like in the college game? And so obviously we know that the Bears are in the process of overhauling their offensive line. They are going to focus on that and prioritize that both in free agency first and then the draft. And Kelvin Banks is a guy that could lock things down at left tackle for you. A guy out of Texas is really sturdy, really highly thought of, and certainly would be an understandable pick at number 10. There's going to be some names that you hear over time. Booker from Alabama as an interior guy is a player that I think that you are going to hear a lot as an option for the Bears if they don't make huge splashes in free agency on the interior line. And we'll get into that in a little bit with a top target there. Look, like I'm with you. Like, you can be right at number 10 in a number of different areas. Offensive line, certainly one of them. Defensive line, certainly one of them. And so we're going to have to keep our eyes on this. And I think next week's a great time for us to get in the combine, get in that space, talk to people around the league, talk to the prospects themselves, and start to formulate what will be our big board when we get into April, when me and you, Grody, we just break it all down to the point where we've got the pick circled by the time the Bears make it.
Oh, man. Where are we going to store our big board? Is that going to be at the Score? Do we need a neutral site? Do we go in Studs' basement? Like, where is our war room, so to speak?
It's a great question, because you don't want it to be like heavily trafficked. You don't want other people getting the info, right?
No.
Like, so that's a really, really good question on where we'll store that. Let's have a pretty big brainstorming meeting on that over the weekend.
Yeah, no, we will mark that one down really quickly. I'm not going to read like 8 pages here on Kelvin Banks Jr., but just for the heck of it, here is a paragraph, the overview from NFL.com. We're essentially, you know, what we are pulling from here right now with Daniel Jeremiah. Here is the one paragraph or two paragraph overview of that offensive tackle. And then we'll get into some other stuff here. But again, this is on Kelvin Banks Jr., Texas offensive tackle, 3-year starter who has gone to battle in the trenches with current and future pros. Banks will come into the league as an early starter, but his run blocking is more pro ready than his pass protection. Isn't that always the case? He's technically sound and scrappy in the ground game with the quickness and athleticism to get to all move blocks. He has the leverage and strain to hold his own at the point. Banks has the slide quickness to deal with speed, but he must become more proactive in attacking power rushers and long-limbed attackers to prevent them from dictating the terms. He needs to improve his anchor and hand placement, but he should become a longtime NFL starter at either tackle or guard. And it's funny, Dan, one of the NFL comparisons when we say tackle or guard is Northwestern's Peter Skoronski.
There you
also
go.
Christian Darrisaw, for that matter, too.
Remember the weeks we spent a few years ago talking about the length of Peter Skoronski's arms?
Yes, what position he would play.
Great time, yeah. Is he good enough is he long enough to play a tackle? Is he good enough to go to guard? Peter Skoronski, by the way, alumnus of my high school, Maine South High School in Park Ridge.
Oh, wow.
So we've got ties there. I did not mention Booker's first name when I was going through the guard from Alabama. It's Tyler Booker. The reason I didn't mention his first name is because I was thinking Trevor Booker. Trevor Booker was a power forward at Clemson during my time covering college basketball in the ACC. He spent about 9 or 10 years in the NBA, and I was like about to say Trevor Booker, and I'm like, nope, that's the dude that would just go down on the low block and, you know, get you 11 rebounds and 18 points if you're a Clemson Tiger fan. But it's Tyler Booker, and that's a name that's going to be on our radar for the next 9 weeks here in Chicago.
Right, good job. I'm glad you got that. I'm sure that's been eating you up since it occurred, and now you've gotten it.
You can't just call a guy by his last name yet, you know?
No, especially a name like Booker. Like, if it was like Skaronski, then maybe you could, like, a name that is that distinguishes itself from other names. But no, I'm glad that you were able to get that. So obviously that would be a fine pick, right? I obviously see where Daniel Jeremiah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Maya is coming from, but let's talk about Dan. You mentioned you teased the guards and some of the targets that the Bears may have, whether in the draft, moreover in free agency. What are you thinking about as far as the guard position right now here on this day ahead of the combine?
Well, listen, everybody wants to know what's going to happen with Trey Smith. 26-year-old Pro Bowl guard from the Kansas City Chiefs, has won two Super Bowls, has done a lot for that offensive line. Obviously, his last performance wasn't his greatest performance. The whole Chiefs offensive line struggled to slow down Philadelphia, but that's the biggest splash that the Bears could make in free agency in a few weeks. They would have to get in a competition most likely to win a bidding war for Trey Smith. And we know Ryan Poles, for the 3 years that he's been on the job, has been very disciplined with his free agency board. And he sets a parameters, right? Like, and he doesn't like to go outside those parameters when it doesn't make sense with the way they valued a player. And so it's going to be really interesting. Step one here, obviously, is trying to get a feel for whether Trey Smith will even be available. The Chiefs have first say in that. They can either start extension talks with Trey Smith, or they can apply tags to him, right? Like, the franchise tag and transition tag period is open right now until March 4th. And so Brett Veach and his crew have a job to figure out what makes sense in their team building process. Trey Smith, if he gets to the open market, like the Chiefs could use a franchise tag on him. They could use a transition tag on him, which would be cheaper, but it would also allow other teams to get in the mix and negotiate a contract that the Chiefs could then match without having to give up compensation if they choose not to match that. So that'll be interesting to see what they do there. That's one of those little storylines that when we're at Combine Week and we're fully immersed in Bears news, you're going to look down at your little calendar and go, oh man, Brett Veach is on podium 5 here in 20 minutes. Let's go over and listen to see what he says, because there might be some breadcrumbs there about where the Chiefs are headed with that. And probably at this time next week, we'll have a much better understanding of where they're at and just how realistic that will be for the Bears.
Yeah, look, if the Chiefs do allow him to get into free agency, I'll be very surprised, Dan, if the Bears don't make a real run for him, because you can't just stop at Ben Johnson. Like, you're doing things right. Like, the approval rating for what the Bears have done recently is at like 99.9%.
No,
because
doubt.
They went for it. Now, will they continue to do it? Next step? Great first step. Good job. It's a different way of doing business for the Bears. Will they continue to go? They went for the premium coach. Will they now go for the premium guard? So I think that it is, it's real. I guess it's a leap of faith on my part, Dan, but I think the Bears are doing business differently. And that is crazy to come out of my mouth, considering the dysfunction that we saw all season long up until they hired Ben Johnson.
Your leap of faith is understandable, and I think that they will obviously be very active here. There's a lot of people that believe that this would be a good fit and a good time to make a splash like this, and now it's all about just kind of watching how the waves of free agency crash, you know, and how willing you are to kind of play around in those waters, you know, and so that's going to be fascinating. You know, we have talked about Ryan Poles's, you know, philosophy and approach to free agency. Well, this is Ben Johnson getting involved for the first time in this role and having, you know, pretty significant authority and pretty significant vision. And we don't know much about that yet, right? Like that's one of the things that we're trying to learn here in the coming weeks is what will Ben Johnson's comfort level be with some of these things and how aggressive does he want to be? We know how aggressive he is as a play caller, you know, like can he then apply that to some of these decisions that then pushes general manager to either, you know, stay with the same philosophy he's had or, you know, become more aggressive. Tory Dandy, by the way, is the agent for Trey Smith. I was looking that up. If you were
Tory Dandy.
Looking down, good old Tory Dandy. And so that's a guy that you would expect the Bears to have conversations with in Indianapolis next week and figure out what this is going to look like. I think a lot of people are projecting north of $20 million per year for a guy that's obviously still in his prime and in his mid 20s. We talked about the tags. The franchise tag for offensive linemen is projected around $25.2 million. Transition tag around $22.7 million. So those are numbers that the Chiefs will be crunching as they try to figure out their plans. And the Bears have to be ready to adapt.
I can't imagine. I don't know how you feel, Dan, but it doesn't feel... Honestly, it would feel like a really dumb move if the Chiefs were to let Trey Smith go at this point. You know what I mean?
Like, it's the cost of being good, though, right? Like you wind up having to pay a lot of people, and you've got a pretty good quarterback that you're allocating a lot of money to. You've got Chris Jones there. Look, obviously, you can make a lot of moves to try to free up salary cap space and keep yourself on that path. But that is the cost of being good. Eventually, the salary cap starts biting at your heels.
Yeah, but if you're gonna circumvent and if you're gonna build a team. Obviously, the team is built around the quarterback and protecting the quarterback just the way they did with Tom Brady for decades in New England. So I'll be surprised if Trey Smith is available to the Bears.
I wouldn't be. And then it's a matter of just like how quickly does that deal get done by someone, right? Like you'd figure that would be an early day one of free agency thing. We've got that period. I would call it new, but it's probably 5-6 years old now where you've got that. You know, the negotiation window before you can actually finalize a contract, you've got a couple days to lock in the parameters of things. And you'd imagine that'd be one of the very first calls that the Bears make, you know, and then trying to figure that out and figure out how that's going to go.
Let me throw a few other guard names at you in free agency. There's three other guys. I'll just name all three of them here. They are Zach Martin, the 9-time Pro Bowler, Mekhi Becton, the Eagles guard who had a really good year, and then low key, a little outside of the box guy that you and I both got to know a little bit when he was with the Bears, second round pick. His name is James Daniels.
You want to bring back James Daniels?
I mean, I'm not saying I want to bring back James Daniels. I'm saying let's talk about it a little bit. I mean, he did have a torn ACL last year. He was the one guy when Ryan Poles came in his first year, and he's tearing it down and he's trading guys and Khalil Mack and all this. The one low key move that I'd never quite that I didn't like was allowing James Daniels to go. Now I know that when Ryan Poles came in, the edict was on offensive line, the smaller, quicker guys. He's definitely not one of the smaller guys. Like James Daniels would have had to have lost weight and maybe changed his style and all that. I never quite got that. I'm not saying bring back James Daniels on big money. He's the answer, but I'm looking at him. I'm staring at him.
One of the things that's interesting to me just about that conversation in general is now you've got a whole new coaching staff that has to communicate what they want in players. Obviously, it starts with Ben Johnson. And like, if we are going to play style A, this is what our players need to look like at each position. And so then you have to get those discussions nailed down. And we're still in the process of learning a lot of that.
Yeah, we don't know maybe, what the O-line coach thinks, right?
Right?
Do we know? I haven't heard anything from him in terms of what type of guys.
Yeah, and we don't have a real crystal clear vision of what Ben wants coming out of this roster rebuilding process either. And so it's going to be a really fascinating time here. You know, you mentioned another guy, Kevin Zeitler, who spent a year with Ben in Detroit. Yeah. That's a guy that, familiarity sometimes wins out in the early stages of regimes where you're like, I like this guy, but I don't know anything about him. And I like this guy and I just spent the year with him. And so that's another name to keep on the radar. I think there's some guys here, and Brad Biggs had some of this in his mailbag on Wednesday morning at ChicagoTribune.com. There are some guys that could be 1 year stopgaps, right? Where you just say, hey, we're going to pay this guy for this year just to be functional and be upgraded up front. And Kevin Zeitler could be a guy that fits into that mix if some of these other things don't work out. And again, you're marrying your free agency board to your draft board and trying to figure out plan A, plan B, plan C. Going to be really interesting in the weeks ahead to see this. Again, this is a lot of offensive line talk. And so those who are regulars to the pod, get ready for this, because this is like the next nine weeks of our life where we're going to be in the trenches a lot.
We're working for you. Trust me. We're working for you. We are learning as well. All right. I have it down as Weider loves Zeitler, hates James Daniels. What about Zach Martin and Mekhi Becton? Unless you have something else to say about James Daniels.
Like Zach Martin to me is what we just talked about. No, I mean, like, he could be a 1 year guy, right? Like,
you bridge him
and you get a guy that you know can play at a high level and you feel good about that. Becton, real interested to see kind of what happens with him.
Sure. Do you worry about him just because this was a back against the wall, obviously get paid year for Becton, and he wasn't great in years before. So I don't know if I like the fact that he'd be coming in after having one really good year, but I like him. I worry about
everybody in free agency, to be honest with you. It's like, that's what free agency is. And I've said it for years. It's like a flea market, right? Like, you go in and you may find a treasure somewhere in there and be like, this is great value. And I'm glad I found this. But a lot of times it's a bunch of junk that other people don't want, so we'll see where it goes. I always get a kick out of this, and Rich Campbell and I used to do this all the time, where you get these lists of top 100 free agents every year. And then if you revisit them 4 years up the road on like what people were saying going into that free agency cycle and how many of those guys actually turned in to difference makers for the teams they signed with, the percentage is so low. Yeah. And so it's just a reminder of what this world is. I think Ryan Pace's old phraseology was that free agency is a minefield, it was a really good way to phrase it, because there's a lot of things that can blow up on you if you're not careful.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Like, I'm thinking of existing contributing free agent signees on the Bears right now, and that's perfectly put. Like, somewhat like TJ Edwards, what a great signing for the Bears. Tremaine Edmonds, well, not a fail, not an embarrassment, not a dud, certainly hasn't lived up to what Ryan Poles had thought. And I'm trying to think if there's always the other fired, whatever.
Nate Davis. How about Nate Davis? How about 3 years, $30 million for a guy that had a reputation and lived up to it as being undependable and obviously didn't make it to the end of year two with the team. It's a minefield. Right?
Like,
it happened. And it's why we're going to be spending the next 9 weeks talking about interior line play, right?
Because when you make mistakes, really did screw it all up. Yeah.
You've got to go fix everything. And I'm going to give you one more thing before we transition off of offensive line, but the idea of Darnell Wright moving to left tackle, it's something that is just in the back of my head. I don't know how much the Bears would consider it. I know that when they drafted him a couple years ago, Ryan Poles thought that he had the flexibility and the ability to play that other side at a high level, did so in college, moved to the right side out of necessity at Tennessee for what they needed, and has played there ever since. But like, if you start to put your pieces together and you're like, I really like this guy, but he plays right tackle, do you consider taking your best offensive lineman and the only guy that we know for sure will be starting and saying, hey, Darnell, we're going to try to shift you over to the left side. Are you cool with that? You've played it before. I don't know if that's something they'll consider. Maybe it's one of the questions that we're able to lob out there either next week or in the weeks to come with the people making the decisions up there.
I love it. I love the idea of that, because like, follow me on this one. Darnell Wright has been good at right tackle. I've been enjoying the progress. He hasn't been good enough for me to say you can't leave that spot. You know what I mean? Like, there's not that much comfort where it's like, oh, we can't move this guy off a right tackle. He's still young enough and impressionable enough that I think you could move him to, I mean, at least try it.
And this is what fresh eyes on a roster do sometimes, right? Like, you get people come in from the outside, yeah, and they say, well, what about this? And then you go, okay, maybe what about this? And then you feel it out. And again, you're trying to take your own roster. You're trying to take what's available in free agency, what's available in the draft, and put together a puzzle. And, you know, that's the task here, Lee, this next 2 months.
Yeah, and next week it is the combine. Dan and I will be there. We will be doing the podcast from Indianapolis, the RCA. Wait, not the RCA. It's the
Lucas Oil Stadium.
God, why do I do that?
Because
I'm old, and I it's been three different names since the Hoosier Dome back in the day, RCA, and now Lucas Oil. But Dan and I will be at the scouting combine, talking to people on the record and off the record. It's kind of a rush of an event. I don't know if people care going behind the scenes. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of walking. It's a lot of hustling, and it's a lot of information to process.
Late nights, early mornings, a lot of work, a lot of networking, a lot of, you know, conversation with the recorders off. It's a fun week for sure. It's increasingly exhausting the older you get. That's something I've learned now, approaching my late 40s.
Yeah.
I don't have the gas in the tank that I had when I was in my mid 30s of being able to out late and rebound.
People love steps. Like, you accidentally get 10,000 steps a day at just walking around the combine, because
I will tell you, yeah, that I've made important connections that have helped my job as an NFL reporter. And I've made those connections at like 3:30 in the morning of a lobby coming back from a late night out and being like, hey, just wanted to introduce myself. And then you know, 6 or 7 years later, you're like, that was a good choice.
I know you were buzzed last night, coach, but you can't take that back now. We're friends now.
I need all the juice.
You gave me your number.
And that's, yeah, right. Like, and it's people all across the league. And, you know, I always joked about this, you know, my colleague at the Tribune, Brad Biggs, when Rich Campbell and I started on the beat in 2013, we were like amazed at how many people Brad knew and how many different organizations. And then over time covering the Bears, you understand why, because there's such overturn at the coaching position when you're firing coaches all the time. They all go somewhere else. And so, like, you know, coaches all around the league, because they've all been through Lake Forest at some point, and they make a 2 or 3 or 4 year stop there, and then they're on to somewhere else. And, you know, so you there are a lot of recognizable faces, I'll put it that way. Did want to push you here. I don't know, did you watch the new episode of 1920 Football Drive?
I did not see that. So you're gonna have to lead us on that.
I will, and I'll steer you in some directions, because there's really only two things that jumped out to me. It really was an episode centered around the hiring of Ben Johnson, and Ben Johnson sort of having his first say in what he wants to do at House Hall. The first thing that struck me was a conversation that the producers had with Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams reiterated something he told us on the day that Ben Johnson was introduced, and that he's been really sort of magnetized to Ben Johnson's competitive fire. I think it's really interesting that the quarterback has felt that, because they haven't been in any sort of competitive forum yet, right? Like, and so, like, for him to feel some of that juice early, I think is important. And I thought it was notable that Caleb brought that up last month, and then certainly in the episode he reiterated that. And I'm curious what you think about that, because it feels like Caleb is yearning for some of it.
It's really important for him to feel like things are different, period. I'll just say it like that, whether it is because the juices are flowing or what he's super motivated, something had to be wholly different. And I think that Ben Johnson by now is up to date on everything that went down last year and what they think Caleb Williams needs. So that process has begun. So good on the Bears, because again, they hit this home run. Now they have to keep hitting home runs. The expectations don't stop there. And I honestly, I mean, just to come full circle here on the podcast, after what they did with Ben Johnson, I am much more willing to trust them going forward. But yeah, Dan, I mean, I think it's important that we start to see the difference in what I think is a real coach and a real coaching staff discern themselves from what went on with Matt Eberflus and his coaching staff.
The other thing that Ben Johnson said that really perked my ears was, you know, like there's going to be all this talk in the months to come about building his offense. And he said, it's really about building the quarterback's offense. And I love that because it's an acknowledgement right out of the gates that this isn't about him. It's about serving Caleb Williams and taking Caleb Williams to the next level, which will in turn take the entire franchise to where it wants to go. And so that early realization from a first-time head coach, obviously a proven play caller in the league, is notable to me because it is, you know, sort of an echo of a sentiment that he expressed at his introductory press conference where he said, look, like, I'm not going to drop my playbook in Caleb's lap. We're going to get together and we're going to build a new playbook. I think he said, build it from the studs, right, Grody? And
yeah.
on the introductory press conference. And so you and I talked about this the other day. There is a process here of those two guys getting on the same page, of getting in a room together, of watching tape together, of understanding what fits, you know, and what brings out Caleb's greatest strengths. And that process is going to be tedious. It's going to be demanding and it's going to be long, but it's going to start with a realization from the head coach that nothing matters if I can't get the best out of my quarterback. And in order to get the best out of my quarterback, I need to build him an offense.
Right. And if the quarterback is really good, then some of these spots that we're talking about are not nearly as important. But we're a long way from that. We're a long way from that. So we will follow it. Dan and I will be at the Combine. We are looking forward to it again. Listen to the podcast. Check out the podcast on any of the places you get your pods. Like I said, Dan and I did a show on The Score on Monday. If you want to check out 4 hours of that, if you got some extra time to kill, we appreciate that. Dan, anything else before we get out of here? I feel like we've covered it all pretty well here ahead of the Combine.
I'm going to review the film on YouTube after this episode because I think I did a really good job of using my mute button on this episode to muffle the sniffles. It's just a lot of, you know, studs can do a montage of me hitting off.
See, now you're struggling.
No, I was just trying to show you how quick I could be.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, right.
I was able to block out the sniffles there, you know, and like, so
you're getting to be a pro in front of Mike,
crazy.
My man.
Crazy.
Honestly, I think it was the 4 hours that we did on The Score together because you got to be on your game. I mean, that's live and local and all that kind of stuff. Not that this isn't, but
That's all I had for you. What a parting shot that is, right?
Yeah, there. No, that was great, Dan.
Praising myself for not grossing the audience out.
Get better, my friend. He is the one and only Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune and a frequent Score contributor as well. Our executive producer is Adam Sadzinski. My name is Mark Grody. Thank you all for listening and watching the Take the North podcast. We appreciate it.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.